Will you pray with me? Gracious God, use our hearts and minds, focus us, that we might hear and take in your word and use it in our own lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4 and a few verses in chapter 5. Listen for the word of the Lord. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord. I am the true vine, Jesus said in John 15, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Jimmy has said, today is Mother's Day. In many congregations, all women are recognized as having influence on the lives of others, just as on Father's Day, the importance of men in the lives of children and youth is acknowledged. We are also recognizing today our high school seniors and those who have been a part of the great cloud of witnesses here at Westminster for many, many years. That's a lot of influence and success, my friends. Mothers, youth who have completed their high school education, and those who have been faithful members year after year, each has a special place in our lives and in this congregation. Whether youth or adults, mothers or fathers, grandparents, uncles or aunts, whatever you claim as your identity, you have had some kind of influence on another. Schools have adopted mentoring programs for struggling students to be helped by their peers. And when I see a high school youth who mentor elementary children, encouraging them to learn and grow, to be like their those mentoring them, I know that both are experiencing something special, something valuable in life. Likewise, organizations have been formed on the premise that adult support and contact are important for children as they grow. Teammates, a locally grown program begun in 1991 by then head football coach of the Huskers, Tom Osborne, and his wife Nancy, is an example of how we use our care and experience to reflect wisdom and maturity, the light of experience, if you will, to young people today. With over 150 chapters across Nebraska and Iowa, Teammates' motto, Together We Transform Lives, has reached out and continues to successfully mentor thousands of middle school and high school youth. Teaching someone how to live a caring, wholesome life is so important, but not just when we speak of young people. It is important in all stages of life, whether we are talking about life as a young child or the baby, or even as we are older and close to the grave. How we treat others, how we live our lives is a reflection of our beliefs, our faith, our sense of what it means to be a Christian. Today's lesson from Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a teaching for Christian living, put together like a stained glass window of spiritual advice. He builds his window with pieces such as, "Let us speak the truth to our neighbors. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Thieves must give up stealing. Work honestly so that you have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Imagine, if you will, the Christian life is like a mirror. The people of God become reflectors of the light of God in a world of darkness. Like mirrors, we are called to reflect the point of light away from us so that it benefits others, light bouncing off the glass instead of passing through it, revealing a whole different set of colors and qualities. Paul hints at the same function when he calls us to be imitators of God as beloved children, living in love as Christ loved us. People look at us and they see a reflection of Christ's love. They glance at us and catch a flash of God's grace. They turn our way and see a glimmer of the Holy Spirit's power. I've been reading Kathleen Norris's book, Amazing Grace, again. I pick it up every now and then because there are so many nuggets of good things in it. In it, she shares insights into theological words that Christians bandy about as though everyone in the whole world ought to understand them. She offers her own reflected light as she shares her education as a Christian. One story in the book is Norris's experience of reflected light. She was joining Spencer Memorial Presbyterian Church in Lemon, South Dakota, which is just 45 minutes north of where I lived as a child. It was a bitter, cold January day, and she wondered if she was making a serious mistake since she still felt like an outsider in the church and questioned if she always would. Yet she knew that somehow, in some way she did not yet understand, making this commitment was something she needed to do. Before the service, she and the other new members gathered with some of the elders. One elder was a man she had never much liked since he was a gossip and always seemed very ill-tempered. The minister had asked this elder to greet the new members. Standing awkwardly before the small group, he cleared his throat and mumbled, "I'd like to welcome you to the body of Christ." Kathleen Norris reports that the minister's mouth dropped open, as did hers. Neither of them had heard words remotely like this coming out of that elder's mouth. "Like distant thunder," she writes, "the words made me more alert. My own small mind had just been jolted, and the world seemed larger, opened in a new way." The elder's words, those few simple words of welcome, had power. They were the truth of God reflecting off an ill-tempered man. That story reminds me of an elder no longer on the session of the church I served in Minnesota. Mr. Lee, as I'll refer to him, never smiled. He would shake my hand after worship, maybe comment on the sermon, and leave for the week. I was new at North and at first was affronted by his attitude. He seemed so remote, so unreachable. I was new to the congregation, and like all of us, I was eager to be accepted as part of the family. Finally, after months of the same response from Mr. Lee, I made it my mission to get a real smile out of him. He probably felt I was a terrible nuisance, I don't know, but after several years of non-committal on his part, I suddenly realized one day that there was something different about our relationship. Mr. Lee didn't smile all that much, but he did engage in conversation with me, and lo and behold, one day a smile broke through, and then another. By the time I left North St. Paul in 2005, the smiles were more frequent. Now, I don't know what caused the change. Was it because he came to know me better? It really doesn't matter. Be imitators of God, says Paul. This means to copy God's grace, love, and hospitality, even if we haven't come close to divine perfection ourselves. When that elder said, "I'd like to welcome you to the body of Christ," he was being an imitator of God, even though he was an unpleasant person himself. He reflected God's love, and it changed Kathleen Norris's life. When I reached out to Mr. Lee with a smile, and probably in his mind was a nuisance, I was being an imitator of God, all the while I thought it was my mission my challenge. And similarly, those teammate mentors reach out to each of their mentees, reflecting the possibility, the hope, the can-do attitude necessary for personal success in life. Is that not a part of what we are about as Christians? Reflecting possibility, hope, resilience, and strength for living each day in Christ. The beauty of the stained glass window the writer Paul offers us comes into focus in verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. We are not only reflected light, we are transmitters of the light. This transmitted light, the light of God, not turned away from us, but actually seen in us, seems to come from us. However, the kindness we show, the tenderness and the forgiving nature are not because we are particularly gracious people ourselves, but only because God in Christ has already forgiven us. Our goodness is not our own, but it's a shaft of divine light shining through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are called to reflect divine light, to transmit it, but we can't do that either if we hide it away. We're not much good without our light source. We're not much good if dirt and grime and dust are allowed to accumulate in our souls. We need the relationships that nurture us throughout our lives. Not all of us have been mothers, but we all have influence on someone else. Not all of us have children close to us. For many of us, they are scattered, many cases, from coast to coast or around the world. And perhaps we don't interact with children on a regular basis. But we do reflect the light of our faith each time we encounter another person. We never know when the light that flows from us may be needed by the next person we see. One of the premises of most video games is not losing your lives. You begin with a number of lives, kind of like the cat with 9 lives, and as you play, you risk the chance of losing a life, or as in my case, all of them, all of the time. It's then I go back to the beginning to recharge my lives so I can begin again. Our lives as Christians are like that. We need to recharge regularly. That's why we're here. We know we're not perfect. We know we falter and sometimes fail in our relationships with others. So we come to confess our inadequacies. We aren't stained glass Christians, but we certainly are stained grace Christians. Receivers of grace made possible by the cross stains of Jesus Christ. And with the renewal he gives us, we are able to go back into our world confidently, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Oh, and before I forget, mentors for teammates are needed. Check out their website. Consider using the gifts God has given you to be the light in the life of another young person. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers, and God's blessings on all of us, whether male or female, as we go out to be grace-filled lights reflecting the love we know in Christ Jesus. Amen.